pray, please. Eternal Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we covet your presence here today, Father. I just ask that you would guard these lips, that these words would somehow bring glory and honor to only you here today, Lord. We just thank you for everything that has already came here this morning. I feel like we've already been blessed beyond measure. Father, we just covet your presence here and just ask that you would guard these lips. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning to everyone. I don't consider myself a teacher, so I'll spend a little time explaining what the Lord has been doing in my heart, in my life. I think this is a work in progress. I don't think he's done yet. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26. We're going to look at an account here. Verse 16. I'm not a very good reader. I have a tendency to look at the words and move on to the next word as soon as I think I understand the meaning. I used to blame my teachers, but I realized there's a lot of people here that had the same ones and they can actually read. So it puts the blame right where it needs to be. And I'll try to read here. In 16, it talks about Uzzah. I believe that's how it's pronounced. But he was made a king when he was 16 years old. At the beginning of his life, it was dedicated to Jesus, or to God. He served God. He served God with his beings. And in verse 16, it says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar." So we read this account here. And Issachar, the priest, went in after him. And they went with a lot of the priests of the Lord. And these valiant men, they withstood him and said unto him that, you know, this is not for him to do. The priests of the son of Aaron were supposed to do this. In 19 it says, "He was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, leprosy rose even up in his forehead." So here is a person that spent, I don't know how old he was at this point in time, but he served God and God blessed him in many, many ways. But he became proud. The headline of my Bible says, "The Penalty of Uzzah's Pride." The Lord smote him with leprosy right there. He was cast out and his son went on to reign. Let's turn to Acts 12. This is actually the verse where the burden for this message was taken from. There's a brother read him a few Sundays ago. Chapter 12, verse 22. Here we see Herod. And Herod, on 21, he sat upon a throne arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made it an oration unto the people. So in other words, he sat on his throne and gave a great big speech to the people about how great he was. And the people gave a shout, saying, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." He took God's glory. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Herod took credit for the things that belonged to God. We see a proud Herod that was eaten of worms in front of the very people that he had just boasted to. Do I live in reality that the very same God that smote Herod sees the intentions of my heart just as clearly as he did Herod's? I'd like to take a closer look at what caused this in our hearts to be proud. Let's turn to Psalms 10. Some of these verses are, I have quite a few verses here and I need to move on. So I don't want to take the verses out of context in any way if possible. But 3, it says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetousness whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." So it's telling us that it's why it's such a distaste to God, is because it takes the place of godliness in our mind. It is our own heart trying to take glory that belongs to God. Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It doesn't give any room for sometimes or maybe. It said pride goeth before destruction. It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divulge the spoil with the proud. In Matthew 13, verse 18, we see the parable of the sower explained. And I don't know if there's a point in time where there's sin that the devil is responsible for in our lives. There might be. I don't know that I know that answer for sure. But this is clearly not one of those things. It talks about the devil. The devil came the wicked one and catcheth away which was sown in his heart here when it talks about this parable. It gives that account here. But this clearly isn't one of those sins. Mark 7:20. It tells us where this comes from. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, it's that that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. I can't blame that on the devil. That starts in my very own heart. And it grows from that little seed. This clearly lays the fault of this sin at the correct place on our hearts and on my heart. Pride comes from within the heart. It's not the devil's fault. How does this start? Some of these are my own thoughts. You can add thoughts or take thoughts away. I believe it starts with us not being 100% honest with ourselves. We tend to say things that influence the way people around us think about us or ourselves. We tend to say the things so that we influence the way that the people think of ourselves. This is a subtle and a sly trap to fall into. It's almost universal. I'm the first one guilty of this. Years ago, I did this constantly, and God didn't even convict me of it. Today, I'm thankful that God at least convicts me of this and gives me the opportunity to repent and to see my need of Him. But I believe that it starts with us not being honest with ourselves. God hates it so badly because it takes honor from God and it puts it on ourselves, or it puts the honor on myself. Sometimes our word competes for and take honor that belongs to someone else. Sometimes our words take honor that belongs to God and puts it on ourselves. Can we prevent it? We need to be 100% honest with each situation. Not just honest in man's eyes, but we need to be honest and look at it the way God looks at it and God sees it. He sees our hearts. It's impossible for us to hide these subtle thoughts from God. Honestly, honesty, true honesty from God's perspective. God allows us to examine our own thoughts and motives and intentions. They are either pure or they will be judged. As we've seen the examples of Herod and Uzzah, they had many, many people convinced that they were great, but God saw their heart and He judged them. They were judged for taking God's honor upon themselves. How do I lead my life? Is it poured out for others? Or do I make sure I'm taken care of first? Do most of my sentences start with I? Do I talk about me a lot? 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? It's telling us that we don't really have anything that we haven't received. We didn't have the strength to get out of bed if it wasn't for the grace of God this morning. And if thou didst receive it, why didst thou glory as if thou hast? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast received it? A good gauge for me is after a conversation, I ask myself, did I run someone down in my conversation? Did I portray them, and I think this is the most important part of them, did I portray them in a lesser light than how God views them? If I did, I've usually lifted myself up in the same conversation. Lord, help me. Is there a cure? There is a cure. Jesus Christ can help with this. That's where I say He's nowhere close to done in my life. I think He's just maybe started to make me aware of some of this. But I think by serving is a great way to check your heart. I believe it's impossible to have a life of humility without a close daily walk with God. He has to be our focus. He longs to be our focus. He wants to be that which we live for. I think a yielded, submitted walk would take this from our stony hearts. He didn't bring us this far. He doesn't want to take anybody partway. If someone is sold out for Him, God will take him through the help of Jesus Christ, will take him, and they will take this thing and he will excel at it. The outward appearance is important, but there's almost no greater stench than someone that really, really, really acts humble and all meek and lowly. And arrogance is just dripping from their lives. It's a heart condition. I think as our heart is laid out before our God, He will show us these things. I can say from my own life's experience, if I'm willing to respond to the first thing that He shows me, He will continue that work. In closing, let's turn to Philippians. Being confident of this very thing, this is something that I take and hold very near. Because I am confident, I do believe this. He that hath become a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, and I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Thank you, and just wish God's blessing on your day.